come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Welcome, friends, to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. Every Saturday night, the Freak Show happens, whether you want it to or not. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, YouTube even, and more fine repositories of internet talk shows. We watch movies every week, and then we talk about it for your listening pleasure. And these are the people who will talk about it.
Hallie.
Sean.
Travis.
And I'm Colin. And tonight we watch the movie chosen by Sean. What did we watch?
We watched 1995's Castle Freak,
directed by
Stuart Gordon,
who also directed
Reanimator and a couple other movies we've watched from this.
Robot Jocks. Did we watch something else he did?
I'm sure we did.
He didn't do Arena.
No, I don't know. I'm sure we've been doing a lot of Stuart Gordon.
We have.
I know. This is like.
Or just a lot of Full Moon or.
Yeah. I was like, when you picked it, I'm like, so, like Charles Band, the producer, is like becoming like a special, you know,
well,
a guy on this show.
Millions of movies.
He's and
produced
crazy
most of the stuff we
movies.
Watch.
Yeah. it's just math that we end up watching a lot of those movies, I suppose.
Is it also math, Sean, that we ended up watching another H.P. Lovecraft adaptation? So soon after doing...
Is that what this is?
Yeah.
Loosely based.
The Outsider?
The story is called The Outsider, and the story is about it's told from the point of view of this guy who lives in a dungeon, and he's never seen the daylight or another person. And I can't remember what happens, but he gets loose.
It ends with the mirror thing.
Yeah.
He sees himself in the mirror and like, okay.
Yeah.
I know the story, but I kind of thought, like, I'm going to go off on a little tangent. So give me I thought that this was more like, okay, Stuart Gordon, I'm like so on him as a director. Mm. But what I do like that he does is he seems to try to make the ultimate version of the stories he likes, right? He's like, I'm going to make a evil doll movie, dolls. I'm going to make a mad scientist movie, Reanimate. You know, he just makes these movies that are like, holy shit, this is kind of like, if you really want it, like, I mean, and this.
What would this one be, Travis?
Well, okay, this one.
it's the ultimate castle monster movie.
Well, yeah. the very first American horror movie was a silent film called The Cat and the Canary, where a bunch of people go to a dark house and there's like a mystery creature guy in the house that kills them or whatever. And this has been remade. It was remade a second time. Then William Castle did Old Dark House. Mm-hmm. He basically did a remake, but renamed it with Boris Karloff as like a mad drunk brother.
Yeah.
So that's why when I was watching this, I kind of thought, oh, this is Stuart Gordon's version of the Old Dark House, of The Cat and the Canary. Pretty much like the first American horror film. You go to a castle or something, there's like a, there's.
See, I told you. Yeah. I told you, you'd be great for this. Castle Freak.
Sean was casting you as the Castle Freak in the remake.
You are cast. So
okay.
Start cool. practicing.
Yeah.
However you want to do that.
For those that watch this, you all know what my joke was.
Well, these guys, I mean, Stuart Gordon and his writer pal Dennis Paoli, mm-hmm. I believe, have done H.P. Lovecraft adaptations, Reanimator, From Beyond, Castle Freak, Dreams in the Witch House for the Masters of Horror TV show, and Dagon, which is based on The Shadow over Innsmouth. Mm. So, like, they're, I think, trying to, you know, put the stamp on, like, cinematic Lovecraft. Which is weird
because
their Lovecraft, when you read Lovecraft, they don't necessarily feel anything at all like
public domain. That's
Stuart
what
Gordon
like,
movies.
What do we do? Let's just grab from the best fucking horror people and just, because it's public domain, and we'll...
Well, you do it once and you strike, you know, box office gold with Reanimator, then it's like, oh, there's probably something here. We should go back through his entire catalog.
What we do. But the problem is they went overseas and I don't know. Every one of their movies is a little painful to me to know.
Well, especially the newer ones. Dagon was Spanish, I believe, because Brian Yuzna, who was the producer, who worked with Charles Band, I believe, in some of the earlier ones, he ended up founding this company called Fantastic Factory, and like it was based out of Spain because of the tax credits. It was cheaper to do stuff there. So then everything that he would do, you remember that movie Faust? I believe that was his also.
Based off the comic book?
Yeah. And then there was like Bride of, or not Bride of, Beyond Reanimator and all those, like, you know, yeah. So this was during the period where Charles Band had, I don't think he was actually still shooting stuff in Italy, but this was shot in his castle.
Yes.
That was his castle?
This is Charles Band. Yeah, Charles Band's.
It's his house.
Yeah, it's his. He owned it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've got a castle.
Because didn't they make lots of movies here? I mean,
yeah, well, castle, when he
like,
had
any of the subspecies or any of that? Or no?
There was another cellar dweller here. I can't remember now. No, that was on a set somewhere.
Subspecies. That was the next movie that was going to pop up on Hulu if we had just let it run. It's like, next movie in 2 minutes.
Oh, no, that was done in Romania. I remember because the director, Ted Nicolau or whatever, was from Romania. And so that was his whole thing of, you know, getting people to tax credits and stuff and bringing industry to Transylvania.
Which we discovered tonight that Colin's Italian accent and Romanian accent sound
remarkably alike. I wonder if I can bring it up. Yeah, later on. As we
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
Grazie.
So yeah, this movie was made with a lot of Z's and I's.
Yeah. Indeed it was.
Very Italian crew put it together. So what are we saying? This is 95, but it has... Gordon brings back the stars of Reanimator. Mm-hmm. Well, I believe. Yeah. What was the, you remember?
Jeffrey Combs and Barbara Crampton.
Yep.
And there was a movie that was made in the 90s. You remember Charles Band was trying to make like an anthology series called Pulse Pounders? You remember this?
This was under that label. Like,
I don't recall Pulse Pounders.
This was a second production branch for them, Pulse Pounders, I believe.
This is where I need more facts before I start talking out my
So I used to watch every Video Zone. I am a...
Yeah, well, he made this movie. There were three movies. And I can't remember what they were or like something spun off, like maybe like a Trancers or something became, you know, was one of them. It was like Trancers 2 was like one. But they were all like 20 or 30 minute movies. And one of them was a Stuart Gordon thing, I think, with... or maybe it was Charles Band directed it. It had...
What, they were trying to do a TV show or something? Is that
no,
what
it was
about?
Like an anthology.
Like an anthology
film.
Movie.
It was going to be called Pulse Pounders, and it never came out. And only recently, like within the last 2 or 3 years, like on Full Moon's website, you can actually get the movies individually that were supposed to be part of it. So like, they found them and put them
in. I don't ever recall, because this, to me, as far as I know, this was the last I recall of like a reputable Full Moon. Like, I think Full Moon really kind of took a dive. After
before the Shrunken Heads and the
well, no, because this was
Demonic Toys.
This was after the Shrunken Heads, right? Because that's when Full the Moon they came out with Moonbeam. That was like their more childish
pre-hysteria
and all that jazz. And yeah, what was the Shrunken Head movie?
What was the adult one called?
What the fuck was that called?
No, the adult label. Remember Beach Babes from Beyond? It was like Moon Blaster. No, that's not it. It was
Moon
something.
Blaster. Yeah, I don't recall. I don't. Yeah.
After Dark. Maybe it was After Dark. I don't remember.
I don't know. I only watched Full Moon. I didn't watch that smut.
They tried to do everything. Well, you saw a movie.
Killer Puppets and Doll, whatever the fuck. That's all Charles Band did was like, what was the technology they had in the 60s when they put little people in the, we'll do that, but with killer dolls and Rag Doll and like, I mean, Killer Bong, all these fucking
Killer
stupid.
Bong.
Oh my
there
God.
There are five Killer Bong movies.
Nowadays.
Just to remind everyone.
Gingerbread Man. I'm sure they
Ginger Dead Man. Yeah.
Oh, Ginger Dead Man.
Oh my God.
Fuck. Wait, where's my list? I'm putting that on the list.
It's Gary Busey as the voice
of
the Ginger Dead Man.
It's on the list.
But I remember, I mean, I'm glad you picked this because I remember when I first rented this and I shut it off in the first like.
In boredom or
because
well,
it fucking dude, it 44 minutes until the freak really it's like I'm seeing a lot of castle,
not a lot of freak.
I mean, you know, we start off with an old lady in a sweater,
and a cat. Let's not forget the cat.
Yep, she gets a piece of bread and cuts a little piece of a hot dog for castle freak.
Yep,
and she's got chained up in the basement as you do.
Then whips him until she has a heart attack. what a day!
Yeah, just like I'm gonna feed you, but I'm gonna whip the shit out of you first.
What do I do today?
Is like running down the like as she's the. My impression of that scene was she's leading the cat down the stairs, and then she sets the bowl or the dish down, and the cat starts eating it, and I'm like. Did she just fucking, like, you know, like, bring this down so the cat could eat it there? I'm like, oh, no, she's actually supposed to be giving that to the guy in the
She just doesn't
cell.
Give a shit if the cat eats them first.
Yeah. No,
it's not very generous.
Because right then, I was like, well, why would you eat, if you're this locked-up castle freak, why would you eat this little piece of bread and sausage when you have this nice, juicy cat right there?
Well, he
right,
learns Holly? That. That's like a good. That's like a good like foreshadow. You know, it's a good like. This is why the cat always comes in front of this door for no reason. You know, it's because she just sets the food down. That's kind of cool.
Uh-huh. I wouldn't say cool.
Well, no, it's good story though. It's good storytelling. If why the fuck does a cat just come near this
because
door?
Because it kept me anxious the whole time. I'm like, I'm gonna worry this whole fucking movie until the cat dies because I know it's gonna die. I'm just sitting there anxious the entire time.
How old were you when you first saw this movie? You said you rented it.
95, so I was 12.
12? See, all right. I first heard about this movie when I was 10 years old, and this is one of my earliest memories from, like, my hometown, playing with kids in the street and all that stuff. This one of my friends just described, he's like, you got to see Castle Freak, man. Chick gets her boob eaten off. It's crazy. Like, that is a vivid, vivid memory for me. And for 20 years...
That's disgusting.
Castle Freak has crossed my mind. Like, I should watch this movie.
I watched
and you should bring it to the freak
show.
For 20 years, I'm just like, this is perfect time. Let's bring it to the freak show.
So she fucking whips the shit out of him with a cat of nine tails.
Yeah.
And this is how he gets his lovely skin tone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So this guy is like, he's the her son from, like, he's a legitimate son, heir to this castle, a duke.
Yes. Yeah, we find out, because, like, Jeffrey Combs, he gets inherited this castle.
Right, it's the classic story of you inherit a castle and from your family and then go check it out and move your family in there.
Well, but it's also because they're not moving it. They're just like, we're going to fucking, like, make a list of everything and sell the shit out of
you sell. And then you go.
You sell?
You sell?
Because you have to have the castle that comes with the creepy old, the woman who comes with the place.
Right. Yeah.
But it tells you basically get out.
But Jeffrey Combs would be a duke. That's the only reason. I was like, shit, come on, I'm a duke here.
He's American. He doesn't know anything about that. He's like,
still, exactly. What the?
I don't know. And we get a sub for like the first, you said it takes like 45 minutes for the freak to come out. It's almost like we get a subdued
like we're gonna
Jeffrey Combs for the first 40
like we're going to have to talk about the first 40 fucking minutes. We're all hesitate. You can tell we're all like, my story, which, like, because you just find out in the first 40 minutes, you're like, okay, they have a blind daughter. All right. Barbara Crampton and Jeffrey Combs have a blind daughter who is 17, but they treat her like she's 12.
Well,
and I'm
she's
like,
newly blind. She only went blind a year.
But I'm still not sure. It's like, is the casting just a little too old because they want to see her in a bra? Or, like, is she supposed to be young? Because like, it's like, Jesus, even for a blind person, they're just like, I don't know. They're just Barbara Crampton's
really
overprotective.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. They're babying her. Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. But
there's,
the way
reason
they
for
talk,
that psychologically, I guess, because we find out that Jeffrey Combs used to be a drunk, and it's his fault that he
had a drop for 9 months.
Does Jeffrey Combs play a happy guy in any movie ever? Any movie?
No.
Just one movie where he's like, "Hey,"
I keep saying Dr. Mordred, but I think even then
sounds like he's very
he's
happy
like
in
a
that
magician,
movie, yeah.
But I think he's tortured there too. But he's basically like the decent, you know, guy of the movie, so
because he has a nice furled brow.
Yeah, no, I mean, like back in the day, it seems to me like, you know, at this point in time, there was like Jeffrey Combs and Bruce Campbell, right, where the B movie,
like
I don't know about superstars, but they were definitely in like a lot
because
of the fucking shit.
Jeffrey Combs is a good
actor. I was watching. Yeah, but Bruce Campbell obviously got Burn Notice or something, and the stuff that he was in carried him a lot further than Combs did. Because basically anybody now only remembers Combs from Reanimator, but he's
and
done
I still
a lot
know
of stuff in...
Come on.
Yeah, but I mean, he's done guest stuff.
But Bruce Campbell was
he did
on
a lot
TV
of, like,
for
Star
every,
Trek.
Like, generation, you know what I mean? Bruce Campbell was Jack of Trades on Hercules. Bruce Campbell was Briscoe County Jr. He was somewhere in your youth.
But that's
somewhere.
Yes, but so was Jeffrey Combs. But the problem was whenever he was in a
just
guest
Stuart
appearance.
Movies.
No, I'm saying he was in, like, every Star Trek from, like, Voyager, Deep Space Nine, and Enterprise as reoccurring characters.
Yeah, I don't watch the Trek.
And it was like, but he was under makeup. So he could be, like, multiple characters in one show.
Interesting.
Because he was buried. So it's like only if you knew watched the credits, you'd be like, Jeffrey Combs is in this. But he was in with the Star Trek people, and that must have given him, like, income. For
right. It's like
the dry 90s and 2000s.
I can be overly expressive under makeup. No problem.
I don't think he does anything now. I mean, I'm sure he's doing something somewhere, but I don't recall
the last. What's the last thing Jeffrey Combs has been in?
I don't know. I mean,
Beyond
seriously.
Re-animator.
Yeah, Beyond Re-animator.
I Still Know What You Did Last Summer?
Yeah. And The Frighteners was before that, I believe.
It's kind of nice he's making his way around the, like...
Is he doing the circuit?
Yeah, the con circuit, whatever.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Horror conventions. He's pretty much at every flashback in Chicago. Yeah.
So like is every... Barbara Crampton. Yeah. She's there. Well, we're recording this as Wizard World is going on in Chicago, and she's there. And, you know, she's still, like, actively working. She's got, like, at least two new movies out and seems to be having this, like, career resurgence.
I think she's a good actress.
Yeah, she was in Your Next. That was probably the most, the biggest release.
Oh, yeah? Your Next? Fuck, I didn't even realize.
She was the mother.
Crazy.
And what was that movie I hated? It was We Are Still Here.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I did not like that. But she's in it. And she has a new one out called Sunchoke. So she's still out there working.
Sunchoke?
Yeah. I mean... Her career, like, I mean, I remember Barbara Crampton was, if you've been listening to this show for a long time, I have a love for a movie called Body Double, and she is the hot naked girl who's cheating on Craig Wasson at the beginning of the movie. And that was prior to Reanimator. And then, you know, so she's the sexy girl who will take her clothes off in Reanimator, and then she's the sexy girl in From Beyond. But, like, Stuart Gordon really did kind of give her a career that kind of got her away from being sexy girl all the time, I think, you know, with stuff like this,
yeah,
where it's like, okay, now we, you know, we're actually, you're getting to act, you know, and do like a part, yeah. You know, now
Jeffrey Combs is like, can I be happy? No, Jeffrey, furrow your brow,
you are not at your best.
God damn,
must be disappointed.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, so I mean, I kind of like the drama that we have. I mean,
it's not bad.
It's not a bad drama, but like, I mean, the first 40 minutes, it's like, this is a fucking half an hour show about how this guy killed their youngest son and yeah. blinded his daughter with glass. Oh my God. I was just thinking, it's like, if you were in a car accident in glass, would you start to pick it out yourself? Because I mean, I can't imagine having glass in your eye. You'd be like, no, I'll wait for the paramedics.
I'd be like, don't touch it.
I can't blink.
Oh, and it led to a great moment after the accident where he's like checking on everyone. He's like checking his daughter's got the glass in her eye, and then he goes off to look for his son, and then he like sees something in the road and he gives the no.
Well, there is no, you were saying, there is no, like, the subdued Jeffrey Combs is not necessarily the most interesting Jeffrey Combs. The not subtle Jeffrey Combs, because this is a guy who has an alcohol dependency, we learn. And there's a scene where
he hasn't since his son.
9 months?
Right.
Yes.
But
like, he's trying to get back on with the Crampton because he's like, come on, damn it. We haven't had sex in like 9 months or something.
Yeah, she doesn't want to have sex with him because she just blames him.
Fucking killed my baby boy.
Killed our son and blinded our daughter.
But yeah, but she says she should say that. She's just like, you're drinking. She should just be like, you killed the boy. Okay, all right. I get it. I understand.
I get it. You're not over that yet.
It's not about the drinking. It's about the boy. I get it. 100%.
But he has a scene where, of course, he discovers that in this castle, there's like this fully stocked, like huge wine cellar.
Yeah.
And his acting in this scene, how do I describe this? His hands shake when he grabs the bottle.
The licking of the lips.
That was where I was like, okay,
I just didn't know.
It's
like, is that real?
Overselling this.
He's listening a little bit. He's a little moist.
His mouth is legit watering for this.
He's good
wine.
Mouth acting. He's got thin lips, but he's good at mouth.
I don't know if that's good mouth acting.
Maybe he's been cheating the whole, like, maybe he hasn't really quit. Maybe he's been cheating because he does end up cheating in this movie.
Oh, no, I think he quit.
Yeah, it feels like he really wants it. But I'm like, do people want the taste of liquor?
No, they want to get drunk really bad.
Yeah, right.
It's the euphoria.
Yeah. That's why I don't really buy his.
That's why I would buy the drinking more. Well, no, I guess you can drink whenever, but I would start drinking after I killed myself.
Right, that's not the time to get sober.
Yeah.
That's the time to start drinking more.
I mean, but then he's trying to get late. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting dynamic, I guess, to set up for this character, right? Because it kind of, you know. It's like, is this character going to redeem himself by the end of the movie, right? You already know there's something that happened in the past, and we have to somehow bring him to some kind of closure for his character arc by the time the story gets over, and you got this dynamic with him and the wife that's like, I guess it's interesting. Is it unusual? I don't know. It's a cool dynamic for a movie where usually it's the happy couple moving into the new house out that it's haunted.
That would seem like, if you were having marital problems, that seemed like a perfect time to get your thoughts straight. Is like, you go to Italy.
Right.
Right.
I'll stay here with the blind girl.
Figure that out.
Yeah. Well, cart everybody up and pack them up and let's go to this.
Even though I hate you, I'm going to go with you to Italy.
Yeah. Because, that money.
We sell this castle, all this wine down here. That's
Duke,
worth something.
Yeah. A drunk Duke's a little better than just a drunk husband.
Did she say what her motivation was? I know at one point he yells at her, like, what are you even doing here then if you can't stand me? And, you know.
Yeah. No, she just has legitimate questions.
She just has complete leverage over him.
Basically. Because his whole thing was, we can have a fresh start here. But they never really said why she agreed to go.
Right. Yeah. And I just assume because it's his wife. You know, she's the wife in the family, and so she's going where he's going to.
Oh, dude, if I was married, I'd be like, I'll pay you anything. Please.
Unless the daughter really put up a fight to go.
Well, he's Greek.
She had to go because she went.
She did like her dad.
Yeah.
Even though he blinded her.
She was desperate to keep her family together.
Well, yes. Yeah. She even prayed about it later.
She did.
Yeah. But of course, the whole monkey in the wrench here is thrown into effect by the. The freak in the basement. Ooh, so this guy...
Stop talking about Lurk that way. The
freak. That's not nice.
That's our butler. He'll be showing up later. But yeah, so the freak escapes from his bondage by breaking off his thumb.
Oh, my God.
That was great.
That was great.
Disgusting. That was great.
Great in its disgustingness.
Yeah, but it was like, dude...
It's a very cringeworthy moment.
It really is.
Well, this movie is full of cringeworthy moments.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe that's where Stuart Gordon is excelling in what he does, because like Reanimator has squirmy, you know, kind of moments. From Beyond, I don't remember as many.
You know where he doesn't like do so great at? Handheld shots. That's why I hate his movies. When he went over to Europe, everybody just does handheld, like they're trying to save as much fucking time in film, so they're just like handheld pan everywhere. Just handheld. And that gets, it's so cheap and looks, I don't know.
Yeah, but the inverse of that is like Reanimator, where he'd have these lockdown shots where he like puts the entire cast in front of the camera.
Yes.
Like a stage play.
Yeah.
But it's because he came from, what was it, the Organic Theater in Chicago? Yeah. I mean, this is a guy, he put on like David Mamet plays. I think he did the premiere of a David Mamet play was his. And what's that guy's name? Not Chaz Palminteri. Is it Chaz Palminteri?
Chaz Palminteri.
I think he came from there, maybe. William H. Macy came from there. Yeah, they are Joe Mantegna, maybe.
Joe Mantegna, yeah.
Joe Mantegna.
Yeah. And he lights them, too. Like, there's some stuff in Reanimator. He lights it like a stage play.
Yeah.
I think more like the morgue scenes when they're doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
He sets it up in the wide shot to show everybody, and he lights it that way, too.
Well, I think that was his first film coming off of, you know, having, you know, the stage background. Yeah. So that's how he was going to do it. But, yeah, so this creature gets loose. And once it's loose, it's wandering around the
Well, the daughter, castle. Doesn't the daughter basically let him out?
The daughter goes, follows the cat.
Oh, God.
The cat. You can't forget the cat. The daughter follows the cat because the cat's bothering her.
Holly's very traumatized by this.
Like, have you seen how many cats she posts about?
What happened to the cat, Holly?
I'd be like, if I saw Castle Freak kill Superman.
just knew. We knew it was going to happen. We knew. I just was hoping that it wouldn't.
Well, and it's very, like, jarring, too, especially, like, when the moment it happens, because the cat's trying to get away.
But at first, I thought it was the cheapest thing, because, like, when the cat jumped, I'm like, Stuart Gordon, it is 1995. You had a cat jump out at this girl. Like, Jesus Christ, what year is this? Like, it is not 82. The cat jumping out does not work.
Yeah, but then... But
the Castle Freak has lunch.
And really, like, they yank that
they
cat
yank
back
it,
in there.
And it's so
even I felt
unnerving.
Bad. I'm like, I have an orange cat.
Are you eating a burrito?
I don't like it.
It's a taco. Oh. It's a tuna taco. In honor of
Castle. A tuna taco. Yep. Oh, God. Oh, the food theme is back at the Freak Show.
There you go. That wasn't planned.
Nope.
I just have tuna.
It's just a happy accident, as they say.
Well, the freak, once he's loose, I mean, this guy hasn't seen another person before. That's what we're supposed to say.
No, well, his mom. So I'm like, so did he get his sexual, like, was there at some point in time where he was 12, his mom's beating him with a cat whip, and he's like, oh, shit, dude, look what she's wearing. Ow! Look what she's, oh, shit, mom. Ow! Because how does, like, I don't think you would have a sexuality if you got your dick cut off. He didn't have a dick.
Yeah, but he has balls.
He had his balls, but he had a dick.
That's where the, you know.
So if you didn't have a dick and.
That's where what, Colin?
Because he was in the
testosterone.
They find out Jeffrey Combs's maid tells him about the story of the Duchess had an American boyfriend who got married, whatever. And then he left her, and she had a kid. But what, he was locked in? The kid died when he was five? So that means
that's
the kid
what they told everybody.
Yeah.
But that means the kid was locked in there since he was five. Yeah. Because everybody's like, hey, where's that kid? Oh, he's dead, remember? What's that crying? Because
she dismissed all of the staff so she could hide this horrible secret. Yeah.
So I don't know where the kid would get a sexuality.
Well, here's what I'm thinking.
It's because he's human.
Yeah, I think that as he's growing up, as he's maturing, he starts, you know, exploring. And that's probably when she
didn't have a dick.
I'm saying that's probably when she cut it off. Because she caught him doing it and was like, oh, that's sin. And, you know, cut it off.
That's a good idea.
And now.
I should have showed that.
Because then when he's with the prostitute in the cellar, he's watching them. He's like, he's learning. He's figuring out that's what happens.
That's what you do.
I guess so. I can see that.
That's good.
For sure. I was just too like, where the fuck? Like. Exactly, like when he's getting...
And that was Holly's horror corner.
Was he looking
corner.
At his mom, like discovering a female?
Holly's
you
hormone
know?
Corner.
That would be his first and only female, like, interaction until he was like... He's got to be like, what, 40?
Yeah, I think he said he was like 45. But yeah. I think that's why when he creeps into... Well, he creeps into Jeffrey Combs' bedroom, I think, first. Right? Is that the first person he sees? Or he creeps into the daughter's room?
Mm-hmm.
And that was where I was like, this is like the first time, like, this is, we're going to end up with like one of these rapey monsters, right? Where it's like
Cabinet of Caligari, right?
Yeah. I've been let loose and I have these urges that have been suppressed for 45 years. And now they're going to come out in
I'm too barrage ugly of violence that nobody would really.
Right.
And he doesn't have language, apparently. He's just reduced to grunts. I like the way kind of that. Here's the thing that, oh, that's probably true. She cut that out too. The idea that when you see this monster, because I think they give it away too early by showing you what's actually happening at the very beginning of the movie, where you actually see him in the, I know it's kept in shadow,
it's
but
mostly his
you
hands.
See the guy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the poster art obviously is like the makeup.
The poster show, because it's like, hey, buy this movie. Like, we have no other reason to hide this
it's
thing.
It's a Castle
look
Freak.
At
look at the cool monster
here's
design.
The Castle Freak. Watch the Castle Freak.
But in the
Which
movie.
Which, if they even have had the blanket on, I'd fucking watch
yeah,
it.
See,
that's still
cool. Yeah,
looking.
When that's he a cool has, look. So he wanders around with this, like,
the way
blanket
he gets
on.
It, though. He goes in, like, it's the funniest thing. He goes in there, and it's the daughter's room, and he pulls the blanket off of her, and he's hovering over. And then she wakes up and screams, and he's like, ah! And then he just, like, grabs the blanket and the sheets and just runs away.
He knows
the greatest
he's ugly.
Thing. He's like, ah!
But that led to one of the best scenes in the
movie.
Was
it before that or after that where he looks in the mirror and sees himself for the
first time?
I think
after he leaves, he goes and sees himself. Or that's the next morning.
And that is the one scene from the actual short story. So
that is
loosely.
Yeah, because then she was the one that's like, oh, he broke the mirror because there's a person here.
She kept saying that there's somebody here.
There's someone here.
Well, when was the scene where Jeffrey Combs is actually looking around through the house and he's going, you know, of course they've got sheets over all the furniture and he creeps through the room.
Oh my God. No, that was the most Scooby-Doo moment. That, I'm so glad you mentioned
Sean
that.
Sean called it.
I called
Sean
it. Like,
called
as
it.
He's walking, I'm like, it would be great right now if he was sitting under a sheet like a chair. And sure enough, they go to
him. As soon as I saw that chair, I was like, they can't fucking know. That'd be so stupid. Once again, where would this guy get any sort of like a sexual psychosis or sexual like whatever?
But
and then
also,
like,
where would he
how would he mimic a fucking chair? Like, I know. Perfect.
Oh, it was
light
great.
Zoink, Scoob.
It was great.
Let's get out of here, buddy. Yeah, uh-oh.
He's got a pretty cool look once he actually wears the sheet. He kind of looks like he's
mummy.
All like, yeah, he's got
it's
one
a very,
eye
like, almost
a,
it's like a modern day Phantom or something like that. Phantom of the Opera or some shit.
Covered
almost
up
like
above
a cape.
The nose. You can still see his deformed mouth.
Yeah, it
and
almost
one
has
eye.
Like a cape. I started drawing it last night. I was like, that's kind of striking, but it is.
Especially when later on he gets the blood like all down his front and everything. Oh,
yeah.
It's
very
cool.
Yeah,
But I think it's because the sheet is like tapered to his head. Too.
Yeah.
It's not like a flowing,
it's like
robe
down.
Kind of thing.
Right.
It's tied
He's
down.
It's like Zorro.
So it gives him a. Mm-hmm.
But like, why
round
wouldn't you? My question about Barbara Crampton, because the daughter knows there's somebody in there.
Yeah.
Before the guy even escapes from the door, the daughter hears him when she follows the cat, and then she's like, "There's someone in this castle," and they're like, shut up, you're 12. There's someone in this castle. Shut up.
I think it's because Barbara Crampton, she, not only is she now blind, so they feel like they have to baby her more, I think she is looking to victimize her even more to make him feel more guilty for what he's done.
Maybe.
Also, yes.
That's maybe. What I think.
See, I just thought that maybe
that's a good novelization.
Deconstructing this movie.
Yeah. But I thought maybe it was because that the girl, or because she's newly blind, right? So she's only been blind for a year. And she's like, I hear something, there's someone here. And the adults are telling her, it's your imagination.
Yeah.
And she's maybe doubting, you know,
you're blind, her own senses. Okay. Yeah.
And she's like, well, you're right. I am blind.
You don't see
maybe
people.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe there isn't someone here.
Yeah.
You like Holly's better.
I would.
No, I think it's both. Honestly, I think it's both.
Yeah, I would just trust her. Be like, she's blind. Her senses are heightened. I will listen to her ass.
She's like Daredevil.
Yeah. She's exactly like a superhero. She's better than a seeing eye dog.
Like, listen,
she's a non-seeing daughter.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the guilt, the constant barrage from his wife, and the pent-up 9 months of sexual starvation leads Jeffrey Combs to the city.
Before that. I'm sorry. Before that.
Sorry. Tuna taco.
Yeah, go ahead. They search because they're like, God damn it. What? The mirror breaks. And so Jeffrey Combs is like, I'm going to search the castle. Like, because, I mean, maybe the thing warped, but maybe my blind daughter's right. Maybe, you know, maybe there is somebody here. So let's check it out. And I really like this scene because I did not see it coming. When he finds the grave of the dead ancestor, and it looks exactly like his son. So, there you are, face to face with your dead son's picture in a way. It's not, but a way, I thought, I was like, that's fucking touching, dude.
Well, it was cool, too, because the creature, we're calling him the creature, he's the freak. He's there to witness this, and so I was sitting there going like, oh, this is what you're going to set up, like the... Will the freak see Jeffrey Combs as a father type figure? If Jeffrey Combs is seeing what the creature perceives as himself, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's if he's aware that that's his grave. He's never been out of his room, so maybe this is all bullshit. But if he knows that that's a picture of him as a boy, then like he sees Jeffrey Combs' attention to that picture, then it's like, well,
but I thought the idea that he's like, my fucking father ran away and he had your fucking family, asshole. You know, I thought he'd think of it more like that. Like, God damn it, you have this cozy life. I'm a freak in a castle.
Yeah. Who knows? The mother may have been yelling that at him as she was beating him. It's like, your father left us.
He went to America.
Bastard. I hate you.
Yeah, very possible. Very possible. Yeah.
So weird.
Yeah.
I just don't know how you would hide that for 40 years.
I mean, they said she never left the castle.
Yeah,
for those 40
and they
years.
Said that they lost their fortune,
and she dismissed all the
staff. Well,
because
everybody knows that, like, they hear him crying at night. I mean, obviously it has to be like, you know, enough.
They say the castle is haunted.
Yeah,
they say it. I don't. But
yeah, well, Jeffrey Combs eventually ends up in the arms of a prostitute. Is that where we're headed with this?
He's
so distraught
break.
Over seeing. Well, I like how the picture's gone too. When
it's gone.
Back. Because then freak took it.
Because first he contemplates suicide.
Yeah,
and
that's
then he rules that
that's
out.
The turning point.
He
right?
rules that out. Because
the wife fucking says some mean shit to him.
She does. Yeah, like, and she blames him. She's like, no, you did. You killed our son and you blinded our daughter.
But even from like
and he's like, do you wish it was me?
Yes.
And she's, she said something.
Yeah,
she's like, yeah.
He's like, yeah, I wish it was you.
I wish it was you too.
I'm going to kill myself to make you feel bad. Wait a second.
Yeah, at that point, he goes up to the roof and he's going to jump off. From a screenwriting point of view, I kind of appreciated this moment in the script because it was like, you know, I mean, only later, you know, does this, but it kind of rhymed back to it. I'm like, okay. All right. Yeah. I kind of like where you're going with this as far as tying points in the story together. But, yeah, he ends up, you know, taking this prostitute
goes
home.
To the bar and gets Jeffrey Combs drunk.
Yeah,
which is awesome.
Yeah,
and that's this when leads we get peak Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah, and this leads to our big. This is where the gore really starts to set in the movie, and this is where like the movie earns its title as a horror film.
Mm-hmm.
I think
guess.
Just because it's like squeamish kind of horror. Basically, the creature watches Jeffrey Combs with the prostitute. You know, first of all, you drink, and then you. You know, kiss her on the boobs and then you eat her out, apparently. And the creature abducts her and tries to do all of these things. This is how humans mate, or this is what you're supposed to do.
This is what you do.
Except he's a little
Jeffrey Combs got to, like, dive right in. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Wasn't it way more graphic than you expected it to be?
You're paying her, man.
Right. It's just like, get up.
I mean, I don't have anything against smut, really.
Right, but it was just kind of like, oh, okay.
It was kind of out of nowhere.
It was just kind of like,
damn.
Oh, shit. Oh, he's going to...
You can't
Jeffrey
see it.
Combs, like, couldn't act that. He's like, how many times should I lick this? Jesus Christ.
That's why I was always curious.
It, it was something like he had a, like my nose is in there. Fuck. Yeah. Like say cut, dude. Right? No.
I think he was going for the below the belly button region. But right. She's got her.
Push your face into that.
Her leg up on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And it's like, Bush? This has to be the unrated.
That's got to be. That's what I thought. That's got to be.
Is that a hard day at work? I suppose for Jeffrey Combs, like, hey, I got to do this again.
She's not American. Not to say like all crudded up Europeans. I'm just saying, I don't, how would you know? Like, I'd be like, ugh.
Yeah. That's an awkward scene to shoot all around.
Yeah.
I guess I'm kind of a germaphobe, I guess. Whatever. Like, I don't want to get an STD to make your stupid castle freak.
I mean,
movie.
I wouldn't either.
Can't you cut like fade
space right. involved?
Can I just go below
just
the camera?
Head movements and all. Right. Cameras behind. So
no, that was like looking to the side, and Jeffrey Combs is like, "Say cut, say cut." It was, dude. I saw. I was like, "Jesus Christ, what is this a porno?"
He's like, "I'm not method."
I think that was supposed to be the camera. This. The camera is supposed to tilt up, so you just see the top of his head. But the camera operator didn't move up. Early enough, and that's why it looked a little awkward. Like he's down there going like. Okay,
but then when Castle Freak, because like Jeffrey Combs is just. I love how when she hands out her hand, you know, he didn't have any idea that she was a prostitute. Like,
yeah,
yes, of course I see.
No, he did at the beginning. Oh, the oldest, the international language, because he knew she was a prostitute.
No, because when she
hands out the money, he's just like,
Like, I think he thought the international language was him being hit on. Like,
love.
Like, because how many, like, noir films and everything do you like? Do you have a light?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of the
He didn't realize she was a hua.
Oh.
Yeah. A
hua. I thought he was a little more on the ball than that.
And there's a cop. Dumb. There's like a police dude who is like
has a kid with
the
her
father. Yeah, yeah.
Which kind of becomes sad at the very end.
I
of the
guess
movie.
I was just like, why is this here? Why is this part of this movie? Just so the cop can give him a hard time.
Serious
like,
drama, Travis.
Where is that girl? Yeah, I know. It's a serious drama in a movie called Castle Freak. I think
there's more drama from a movie called Castle Freak than I was expecting.
Yeah.
A lot more.
I did expect it to be worse than it was, but yeah.
They had part
I
of like,
did too, but it was just like, what?
But the gore, gentlemen.
The gore.
He bites her nipple off. Clean the fuck off. No, he pulls it. It's a little chewy.
Right. And it looked complete before, because it's in one shot where you see the kind of the whole thing, and then he crosses over and then bites it off, and the skin comes with it and everything. I'm just like, that's pretty good effect, because I'm just like, oh!
But I don't...
Because that was the infamous scene that I'd heard about for 20 years.
Did it satisfy my good imaginings?
But that's just because he's mad, right?
Well, you wanted to see the movie because of that scene?
I got what I wanted.
But that's just because he's mad, right? I mean, he would have just been nice and fucked her, but she's just like...
I don't think he understood.
I don't think he did. He didn't understand
the restraint.
No, because
he's nice to the daughter.
No, I don't think he.
I don't think
he's not trying to eat her fucking tits
off. I think that was about to go bad.
But
he was getting nibbly with her.
Right. I think he's working up to it, but because he saw Jeffrey Combs specifically with that woman, he's like, "Oh, I can do this to you." But he doesn't know like restraint or like how far to go.
But
with
that. What's with Stuart Gordon eating pussy? What the fuck is that guy's problem?
Well, it's just he goes for like.
Oh, I know what he's
an extreme. Like all of his movies, I think have like a. I'm trying to robot jocks maybe withstanding in space truckers right now. But his horror movies have like these kind of extremely uncomfortable sexual. It's like there's a threat of sexual violence, I guess, in his movies.
A threat?
Or he actually goes into it. Yeah. Cause I'm thinking like.
Reanimator?
Even Dagon, which isn't in the story, but he has the lead girl like stripped naked, hung over this pit, and then the deity comes up and like takes her below and has sex with her. We don't see it, but that happens. Like she gets fucked by Dagon, and it's like, what?
How's that possible?
The hell?
He's like a fucking island.
I know, yeah, but. Yeah.
He doesn't even know what Dagon is. Fucking Stuart Gordon.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's always something. And then the infamous scene in Reanimator where Barbara Crampton receives head from a severed head.
From a head.
I guess somehow that's my line.
This is where you cross the line?
Where it is.
I like I Spit on Your Grave because you get to see a woman gets victimized, but then she gets to get revenge. She goes out and kills all those people.
Right.
Miss 45, she gets victimized, then she gets revenge. I need that she gets revenge. I can't just have, like, that's it? You're just going to fucking eat her fucking
the monster actually does eat her out, literally.
It's like, that's like Stuart Gordon.
Yeah.
It really
we don't
is.
Actually
Shame
see this.
You,
we
sir.
See the aftermath
we see
of
enough.
That, but is cringeworthy enough to... But, I mean, again, I think that's what he's trying to push the boundary of good taste because he did it in Reanimator, and that made that movie famous. Yep. Yeah. So then he's going to try and bring this into, like, every subsequent movie that he does to be outrageous in that way.
It had an effect on two 10-year-olds standing in the street 20 years ago, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
But is it horrifying? I suppose. I mean, we're watching it tonight,
kinda,
and, like, you don't usually see that get anything go that far.
I
kind
of
like
the
Jesus.
Eating of the boob more than the eating of the vagina. That's when I thought, like, this guy's going too far. Why doesn't he just eat her boobs?
Yeah, but wait,
like,
didn't this happen
on?
in American Psycho? That was a mainstream R-rated film, but I'm pretty sure there was carpet munching.
Chainsaw? I don't know. I don't remember American Psycho.
Okay, what's in the book? So maybe that's
book.
Why I don't remember if that was
there's
in
there. There's a lot of sex and violence in that movie, but never
suck
like...
No.
Yeah. Maybe it's like under a sheet or something.
It is because the one...
screams and he comes up and his mouth's all bloody. Yeah,
yes.
So it does happen
that's
in that.
That's the movie,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess that's where I draw my line.
Yeah, it is kind of like...
I don't like to bite that. It's like, what? Come on.
So wait, so are you saying that this is where horror movies get uncomfortable? You've seen so many horror
this
movies, but
not
this
scary.
Is where... But no, but it's...
I've always been a gore guy, dude. You put a stick through someone's eye, fucking jab something in the ear. Feet. Like, I'm like, ugh!
Yeah.
Because the fucking meow cat shit doesn't scare me, you know? Period. So I do need, like,
horrifying.
I do need body torture, like, body damage for me to get, like, squirmy.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
For sure.
This is a good example of that, then?
I mean, the boob, yeah, because you got to see the gore. You know, that's the thing I dread. I dread the, oh my God, he's biting her boob. He's pulling the flesh back.
We're seeing too much
I need
cut, damn it.
I need
you're not going to cut. Oh, shit.
But then when you just, like, cut to, like, him, like, between her legs, like, and then, like, looking up, I'm like, ew. You know?
Yeah.
It wasn't done to, like, torture you. It wasn't even, you know, because at least even in Reanimator, you have the dread of seeing the dude, like, pick up his own head and head for her crotch, right? So that's, like, the dread of seeing it coming. You need that for the whore. If you just have the guy, I've been doing this now for 10 minutes and she's passed out from the blood loss. It's like, that's not horror because I didn't get to see a, like, going down. No, I can't believe it. The way the boob was shot.
Yeah.
To dissect this fucking, like,
yeah,
just to dissect what makes a horror scene.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's yeah.
And it just and her reaction later on, like when the what is it? The old lady comes down.
Yeah, and then she gets beat with a chain.
But even when, like, the prostitute, she's, like, got her head slumped to the side, and when she looks over and sees him, and her, like, hand goes up, she's like, oh, like, she did very well in that part because that's the part that's, like, scared me. Just, like, the look on her face when she's looking at him.
She's all pale.
Like, yeah. Like, bags under the eyes. She's barely clinging to life. I was like, oof.
Yeah.
That did it for me.
So we're saying, folks, it sounds like, well, Holly looks just mortified that we're having this conversation. I was going to say, we're saying that this is an effective moment, or this movie contains
I was affected,
effective
yes.
horror movie moments.
Yes.
Yeah, I was grossed out.
Yeah, we were all affected.
All right. What happened after that?
That's a good question.
Stopped the movie.
The cop thinks that Jeffrey Combs killed the old woman and his prostitute lover.
Back to the drama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The case of missing or mistaken identity. Jeffrey Combs is going to jail, but he's like, no, there's a crazy person, because this is the moment where Jeffrey Combs figures out that he couldn't have actually done it. And he figures out that there is an actual dude in the house, and his wife and kid are in the house, and we have to save them somehow, even though he's being hauled away by the Italian cop.
There was a meeting with a sleazy lawyer.
That guy was hilarious.
Yeah, it was.
It's like, that's
I'm going to raise your fee.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
This case
then we talk about the new financial arrangement.
There we go.
But it is a pretty big leap to, like...
Sure, I screwed her too. Everyone does.
Hey, we all did. Just to tell you the truth, eh?
There is a huge leap that they don't explain from, like, there's somebody in the castle to, like, the boy never died. It's like, what? How the fuck? Just because the old woman told you a story about the American, like, how do you, why would you think it's the boy? Like, I mean, yeah, he, well, because the picture's gone, maybe,
picture's,
or
the
like.
The picture's gone. I mean.
Well, he finds the whip that she's been using, and I guess, yeah, like, oh, Jeffrey Combs doesn't put it together that she may be using this on herself, right?
No.
Like any sane person would think. No. Yeah. So he says, what was she using the whip for? And then puts it together with, like...
She must have kept the five-year-old alive for 40 years, whipping him with the... I mean, it's just like, what the fuck, Jeffrey Cole? Like, you really got this out of nowhere.
But he really seals it once he busts in, you know, to the casket, and there's no body there. Right. So that's what seals
full
it.
Of rocks.
Yeah. He has an idea before that, and then that's the moment where
I just
he's,
don't
like,
know where he would have gotten that idea.
Right, where he's all in.
So, I would just be like, there's just some person in the cat. Like, I would not ever think, like, don't you see it?
So castle, it's a castle with 150 rooms in it. You wouldn't think like some weirdo decided to camp out and kill people. Like that's also an explanation.
Or like why it's like there must be no dungeon in this like castle, right?
Well, that's where
there's,
the, like, that's where the guy's at though, isn't
it? Is
it
a dungeon? It's just kind of like a
yeah, but it feels like it's like it's got
it feels
a room.
Like a lock.
Yeah, but there's cells.
But right, it has cells. It's got a room that is just a room with a lock on it. With chains to the wall.
I think there were several rooms. He was just.
I guess that's where I want a Hollywood dungeon, and not like, yeah, this is my
torches
dungeon.
Torches on the
or,
wall.
This is my castle. It's like,
a stretching rack in the corner.
Yeah, I wanted a. Where's
well,
my
wonder,
Hollywood castle?
I wonder if those were sets, or is that really in that castle?
I feel
it's
like
old
it's
enough.
In the castle.
I mean, yeah, you never
I
know.
Feel like
yeah,
it was all there. He's like, I have an idea. We should use all this.
Yeah, there's like one. I mean, they use like a white light for the whole movie, right? They're just like, let's put this white. No, they have some blue lights. But.
Yeah. In the rainy season.
Actually, yeah, I should have looked at that. That would have told you if it was a set or not, how it was lit in the dungeons.
I always thought, because he goes down and there's like regular flip light switches.
Yeah.
Like in the dungeon and everything. Like, it's a little weird, but then you can tell it's kind of like. It's
but I like that, because that was. To something. Me, that was at least good lighting. Like having a character like turn on a light, then walk forward so he's silhouetted just with the bat. I'm like, that's cool. Like, he, like people don't allow for their characters to go into darkness
they
anymore.
Don't. That's
and I like that.
Yeah, I was watching something the other day. I'm just like, they let these people go into dark, and you don't see that often.
No, you got to have like a gray light. Like they can, the characters are supposed to be in pitch black, but you see everything, and somehow they can see everything. You know, it's like, oh, I get it. Hollywood pitch black.
Yeah,
we can still make this out.
We'll see him.
Well, eventually this ends up trapping the blind daughter and the mother in the castle with the freak. And so the concern is like, what's going to happen with the two women and the freak now running amok? He's already killed two women in the basement, and now he's got free reign of the house. Yes. And he kills the two protector cops that are installed.
It's always two shitty cops who are just hanging out.
Yeah, you go get me a glass of water. Your generic, like, horror movie shit.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like, it's your house. How come you can't go get your own fucking water? But whatever. On the second
being
one.
Being protected.
Yeah.
I'm making sure no one's here to kill you. Or no.
Yeah,
no,
right?
Are they just there to make sure they don't run away?
I think so.
Because
it's more to make
they're
sure they
suspect
not
of,
yes.
Well, they're not suspect, but they could be.
They have to give their statements.
To,
I think it's more that. Than
yeah.
Protecting you from something. So
they don't
really
think that there's
hard.
Anything actually there.
Yeah.
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 They're not expecting some.
It's just weird because you'd be like, hey, make a statement at the. Police, you know, station.
Yeah, and then
not
you
like
go.
You stay in your castle. We'll have two guards here.
For next
I think
okay.
They were taking Jeffrey Combs down. They're like, we're going to deal with him now. We'll see you in the morning.
Maybe.
Yeah, but clearly.
I mean, that's when movies just want things to be set.
They can only
you know,
question
like,
one person at a time.
Right. Yeah. That's, it's, well,
there,
it's an
it's Italy.
Station that's like two rooms.
We're sorry.
It's Italy.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about Italy.
But
what we do know about Italy is from the movies.
Yeah. All the Lucio Fulci films.
Yeah.
But this very does funny. Actually set up like a little bit of okay. So you know, I think maybe that the violent scene against the prostitute is there to for now when the guy is loose in the castle and you know that the daughter is defenseless, she's blind in the room, you know, in the house. It's like that's to set up, you know, because you've seen how extreme his behavior is. Now you're concerned about her. You're like, oh shit, I don't want that to happen to this girl. Yeah. And you know, this is so he ends up abducting her and taking her down to his, you know, but there's like the stalking through the house and, you know, taking her down to the dungeon. So you're worried that like, I've seen this before. Am I going to end up seeing this again? Is this going to happen to her? I thought that was effective. It like actually worked that way.
I think so.
You know, and that's why I was wondering if that was the intention of doing going so extreme.
Right. It's like, know? Oh shit, if he does that to them, what's he going to do to the daughter?
Yeah.
It was so extreme because it was the one horror scene of the whole movie.
I thought
whole hour and a half, that was the one horror scene.
I thought this was also, like, with the daughter was, like, I don't know, it was, at least the suspense was working, you know what I mean?
And then he gets to get a bit bitey.
I'm just saying that's why that scene was so extreme, is because that was the only horror scene. It had to be extreme. To call it a horror movie, they needed one, like, extreme scene.
It's very extreme and very memorable.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, and Barbara Crampton ends up coming in and, you know, saving the day by offering herself to the Beast. Yeah, at this point, well, I mean, this is also like a, I guess, you know, if you have this hideous creature and he's embarrassed of himself because he says, you know, he thinks that he's ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes this girl down there, and apparently this is the only first time that he realizes that she's blind.
Yes.
So he takes his robe off. You know, which he's been running around, and this is the first time we actually get to see the makeup. So the cat's been out of the bag because of the poster art, you know. But this is in the movie, like, where you actually get to see what the Castle Freak actually looks like for the first time. And you know, it was like, and then he's with a girl who can't see him. They didn't play anything on the dynamic of, like, would she, like, you know, respond to him in some kind of way? Because she's just afraid for her life. He grunts and all this stuff as he's trying to poke and prod at her, you know? So it's, like, basically really uncomfortable when you're watching.
Extremely.
And he looks...
Holly was not having a good time.
Not at all.
But this is like what you're supposed... That's what a horror movie's supposed to be, right? Yeah. Like, and maybe this is the thing, and this is maybe a little wrap-up thing here, but just the idea that, like, the thing... Why this doesn't feel like a Stuart Gordon film to me is because Stuart Gordon movies usually have this layer of subversive humor or, like, black humor.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. That this movie doesn't have. This is, like, a straight horror movie.
Drama and horror.
And so I guess that's why, like, some of this stuff feels harder edged, because it doesn't have the safety net of comedy.
Right. It's building the tension, right, or letting the tension out with the comedy at any point. It doesn't have that.
Right.
You're not letting anything go at any point, unless it's unintentional stuff, like, you know, him grabbing a sheet running away.
Woo. The lawyer with his one-liners. Like,
the lawyer was a little bit of a...
But even then, that was quick.
Yeah,
that
was quick and in one scene, yeah. It's kind of just... Builds all up in here, and you're just kind of left with that uneasy kind of ugh feeling through, like, especially from that scene on, you're just like, ugh.
Yeah. And I thought it resolved the Jeffrey Combs, you know, like his, somehow he has to redeem himself.
Yes.
And because it's already been foreshadowed, like, you know, the it ends with, I mean, I suppose a cliched moment up on the roof in the rain. The girls are cornered by the Castle Freak.
But that's what I thought. I was like, oh my God, it's genius having them have a, he's carrying around the chain with the, like, attached to it. Because, I mean, he only bites his thumb off of one hand.
Right. So he's constantly got the chain connected to the other.
Yeah. And the other, I was like, awesome. That's how you kill the monster at the end. That's great. He's already got the fucking chain. But I thought he was going to choke him or something.
No.
I would have went with that.
No. But I like him, like, attaching. He's like, I have to save them. I can redeem myself. And then he just swan dives off the thing and takes the monster
fucking
with
leaves
him.
His fucking blind daughter fatherless with a fucking
But
bitch.
He saved her
he
life.
Saved them.
She could have choked him with the chain and had a father.
It wasn't an option, Travis.
Well, yeah, but
It totally was an option. He took the time to, like, put it on his wrist and come up with, like, I'll kill myself.
But that was set up earlier, wasn't it? It's like he saw that as a good way to, like, I can protect these women and make up for the damage that I've done to both of them by removing both myself and the creature.
Yes, he realizes he is
from
a bad
the equation.
Thing. Exactly.
Yeah.
So he's saving them from him also.
Yeah.
Yes. He is the Castle Freak.
That's a nice place in it, but I don't buy that.
Yeah. We're going to cut out the I don't buy
I'm
that
just
part.
Saying, no, you live right with there. It, God damn it. You live with it. I don't know. I mean, I just don't like it. I'm
trying to get
That's
deep,
my,
God damn it. Support me.
Just don't like that he...
I don't want to see... Yeah.
Your hero dies at the end of the movie.
I guess so.
Is he a hero, though?
Protagonist.
That's my problem with the fucking movie.
I mean,
I don't give a shit about the characters.
He
does
in the end. He is the heroic figure, right? Like, before he, you know, he doesn't immediately go to I'm going to chain myself to this, you know, thing and throw myself off. He actually does do the, you know, manly protector thing and jumps in there and starts beating the fuck out of this creature, which I believe gets the upper hand on him, but I can't remember how
he bites him and to bite him.
No,
or he gets to get the whip. He whips him at one point.
Oh, he whips Jeffrey Combs down.
He does, it goes for him.
Yeah.
He gets, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The device that he was used to be tortured with.
Yes. He turns it on his
for some reason, he's got freakish strength, even though he's been in that cell for 40 years.
Hey, man, he could sit in a position of a chair. He's got, like, strong legs somehow.
Yeah.
He's awesome. Like, he's...
He even knows what a chair is. Like, no one understands, like, what a fucking five-year-old would know sitting in a one room for 40 years. Nothing.
I'm so glad.
I don't think he would have sex.
Around in that mansion after he got out, like, hours, minutes?
I just don't think he would have a sex drive. You need a man needs a mental image in his head of a naked girl to have a sex drive. Maybe he got it in
that scene. Watching Jeffrey comes with
he doesn't have a dick.
It does.
Well, before that, he goes into the daughter's
room. I don't care if you have balls.
He sees the daughter. Prior
if no blood is rushing to a penis to make hard, you wouldn't know what to do with it. Like, it just, I don't buy it. Sorry.
It explode.
I think doesn't make any fucking sense.
I'm thinking that it's there. Somehow you just don't know how to express it. And, you know, yeah, somehow, like,
physiologically, it's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's probably turned on by, like, concrete blocks.
I mean, probably. Just that scraping.
Yeah. So he just rubs up against him.
Like, the feeling of him.
Oh, you guys can't see Colin. Miming this right now. It's pretty wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Concrete blocks, man.
I think that's concrete blocks.
Just made for a perverted movie.
Oh, very much so. I think that's Castlefreak.
So that's Castlefreak.
So
that means we're going to summon Igor, our mail guy, and then read some of your comments. And hey, if you want to write to us, all you got to do is find us on facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. You can write to us at SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com, or you can get a hold of us on Twitter, where we are
at Sat Freak Show.
At Sat Freak Show. Igor, where are you, sir?
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
And thank you, Igor.
I
don't think he likes this movie. It hit a little too close to home.
Yeah, hey, oh, shit, it Martin. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, that was
insensitive
not
to
nice,
Igor.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We just needs some alone time.
Make it up to him. Sorry,
yeah.
Igor.
Our first comment comes to us from Babette Georgie.
Babette!
Babette's writing about The Resurrected, the last H.P. Lovecraft movie that we watched here. Yeah,
because it appears to be an every other week thing.
That's right. Yeah, we may as well just keep this
going. I hate them all.
And says, Babette's just asking if there's any background on how the creature effects were made on...
Badly.
The Resurrected.
What the? They were not bad at all.
And The Resurrected?
Not for fucking 80.
It was the one that was like the washed up on the shore.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
I expressed my like for those creature effects in our podcast. It did.
But I don't know who the guy was. Did we
Todd Masters.
Masters, yes, that's it.
Who's still working. But I did some internet research, Babette, and I could not really find anything. You'd have to probably go back to an old Fangoria or something.
Right. I was going to say, I don't believe there's much on that one. Essentially, since you said it was like a lost movie. Like,
yeah.
Nobody's seen this movie.
I can't even find interviews with Dan O'Bannon from the time. So, like I said, I'm sure Fangoria was on set at some point and probably in an old...
You could probably pull from other work by Todd Masters to see what he's done.
Yeah. Lots of latex, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yep. Molding. You know, that kind of thing. Animatronics. And Bryce Kruckenberg writes to us. Now, here's
release the Kruckenberg.
I always like this, like, damn it, Kruckenberg.
Well, here's
like
the thing, Sean. Many moons ago, Bryce wrote to us and said that he found our Puppet Master review and has been loving the full moon and Stuart Gordon and Jeffrey Combs stuff. And he said, any chance of a Castle Freak review, because that movie scared me to death as a kid. This was back in December.
Damn.
Whoa. You didn't even know you were fulfilling a dream. But we have
made someone's dream come true. I'm so glad.
Tonight, Bryce, it's happening. So
hopefully
Bryce,
you're still listening.
It's all happening.
8 months later.
Bryce writes in.
Oh.
He says, it's awesome that you're doing Castle Freak. Can't wait to hear it. All I know is that it's based off a Lovecraft story. And my uncle let me watch it when I was young, and it scared the tar out of me. I don't think I slept for a week.
Your uncle was irresponsible.
Awesome uncle. That is awesome uncle.
That's cool. That's uncle. What you do.
Right?
It's not your fucking kid. Be like, fuck it.
My aunt used to come over for horror movie nights with us. It was great.
All right, so now it's time for wrap-ups. You hear that sound?
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
The hour has come, sirs.
So, wrap-ups, where we each get to go around the room and give our opinion of the movie we watched, begins with Travis.
Me. I never liked this movie. Just
how many times
because
have you seen it? Like, have you seen it?
This
often?
Is my first full viewing because I could just tell. It's like, I don't give a fuck about this drunk dude. I don't give a. This is my problem with horror movies when it's like, we got really nothing scary to put in this. So let's make it a drama about how, like, or every horror movie needs to be about how, like, you suffered a tragedy, but now you're going to go through an even, like, more, like, whatever, more tragic set of events. That way you can learn to overcome your past tragedy. Like, and I was like, I don't give a fuck. I just don't give a fuck. Right. I don't know if I'm like.
I know we've asked you this before, but just for tonight's episode, what's your favorite horror movie? What movie does it the best? The type of movie that you like, the type of horror movie that you like. So the folks out there have the context for why everything else sucks. This,
no, I just don't. I just
Friday the 13th.
I mean, Friday the 13th, America Went for London.
Fright Night.
America Went for London. I made that one word.
America
Went for London.
America
Went for London. Or Return of London. I just need, I just don't want, like, I don't know, I just don't want to be dragged down with characters right from the get-go. Like, that's not what I watch a movie for. I do kind of want to be entertained. I don't want to be like, oh, boy, like, we got to go through this conversation. We got to, like, and I don't know if that's supposed to be, like, the horrors for the guys and the dramas for the lady. It was like, but I don't give a shit. So I talked about how I really liked the whole, like, when he saw his dead son, or the picture of the ancestor that looked like a boy, made him cry. I thought that was really touching. So there was elements of that I liked. I just hate that you gotta go through the same tropes of, you know, the whole, like, can't we just have sex? No, you know why. Just like, ah, damn it. I hate you seeing see this movie over and over and over again, dude. So many horror movies have to have, well, here's your tragic, your characters have already been through something tragic, you're going to live through this to get through this tragic. And I guess, oh, here, it's like a built-in story arc, I guess. It's just a built-in story arc. It's like, we're not really going to have anything happen, so they're just going to be like, I remember this thing. Oh my God, I'm going through this thing. Now I can deal with that thing. It's just like, I don't give a shit. I just don't. I didn't care. Like, even in, like, big movies like Gravity, like, I don't give a shit if they have a tragic past that this new thing, hey, it just bores the shit out of me. Especially, like I said, like, what, 44 minutes? 40, it takes 45. Yeah, you see some, like, Castle Freak hands. But 40 minutes until the Castle Freak goes out just to eat a boob or whatever the fuck. I'm just like, ugh. I don't know. You could, like, edit the shit out of this movie. This should be an episode of Tales from the Dark Side, so they should be 22 minutes or 40. Because I like the, you know, I don't mind the story. I like how it's not, like, a real, it's not a real ham-fisted story. It's just that classic kind of, like, you know, these people were here. Someone in this house should be dead, but they're not. You know, whatever. Mm. You see this in fucking so many horror movies that it's an awesome trope, I guess, but I just don't want
keep
all this,
coming back to.
Yeah, I just don't want all the drama, and I don't want to, like, I don't give a shit if Stuart Gordon's saving money, like, shooting wherever he shoots. He needs to stop it. He just needs to, his movies just look cheap past a certain point. Like, pretty much nothing in America just looks cheap.
Seen, like, his newer stuff, like King of the Ants and, what was it, Edmund, or the one with William H. Macy. And then there was the one Stuck. The guy gets, or the girl gets,
get stuck.
No, the guy gets stuck in the car windshield. And the girl just drives home with him.
Oh.
With Stephen Ray and,
American Beauty. No, I gave up on Stuart Gordon.
He stopped doing horror. He started doing more like.
He's drama, like, there's no more H.P. Lovecraft to drop.
Right.
But, so yeah, I don't know. I mean, I personally don't like this movie. I wouldn't even recommend it because I think if I recommended this to somebody, they'd be like, dude, it was fucking boring. Then somebody, like, ate her pussy out. This is disgusting. You know, it's just like, okay, you win. Like, I just couldn't, like.
No argument, I mean, against that.
This is why I never went back. I just never went back because I could tell. I could just tell from the get-go, like, I don't like a lot of Stuart Gordon. So yeah, I don't give a shit for it.
I can't wait till we start our video label, the Saturday Night Freak Show edits. We just take all the movies we've seen, edit the shit out of them down minutes. To what they think they should be, and start releasing those. Yeah. Awesome. When do we start doing that?
Here's the 5-minute version of
yeah.
it.
Pretty soon, dude.
This should be 40 minutes.
The Child's Play opening will be put in the middle of the movie when the cop is actually telling Miss Barkley the backstory, where it belongs. That way you're actually surprised when the doll comes alive. You don't see a fucking voodoo like ceremony in the first 5 minutes. Like, oh, he must be in the doll. I'm totally not surprised. You know, I saw him do this, and lightning hit the thing.
Coming soon.
I was like, this needs to be in the middle of the fucking movie. Anyway, go ahead.
I guess I was surprised how much I liked the movie this time around. I've seen it once before and fairly recently. That viewing was by myself, probably, you know, like late at night watching it because it had come across my field
that's
of view.
That's what you do, right?
And that's what you do. You're like, I'm going to watch this. And it didn't impress me that time. And this time it did, and I think maybe it was because of the company. You know, I mean, we're watching it together, and, you know, it took on, like, a different kind of life. I appreciated the care that they were trying to give to the drama, the characters, connecting, you know, points in the structure of the thing. I'm like, this is actually checking out. Like, this is, like, how you write a dramatic, you know, storyline that has this, you know, the monster. It's like, I understand, like, everybody's point of view and what they're doing and why everybody's doing, you know, the things that they're doing to each other and the, you know, misunderstandings and all this.
And can I ask you a question? Do you feel like, cause like, to me, like, I kind of feel like they kept repeating scenes, right? Like every fucking scene until we get to Castle Freak has to be like, hey, let's do it. I don't trust you. Oh, you screwed up again. And like, you just see that 3 times over and over again. Like, oh, I thought I could trust you. You screwed up. Oh, I thought, like, I don't know.
I guess I saw that as like, I guess I don't agree. I don't disagree that the movie does feel, according to today's, you know, like,
standard.
Yeah, I guess the pace, the yeah. standard of a pace in a movie. It feels kind of slowish, you know. I mean, there is, because they're on a limited budget, much more is given to dialogue, right? Because we don't have the money to actually do stuff. So we're going to tell a story and have, right, we have a setting and we're going to have characters, a lot more characters maybe than you need. And we're going to have them all talk to each other about what's going on. So I guess when it was slowed down to that pace, it was like, okay, they're trying to layer on the amount of stress that the Jeffrey Combs character is under so that he will eventually consider taking his own life and then come to the realization I can take my own life and save, you know, I guess
no one will be happy.
Yeah. Well, everybody's supposed to be happy, right? Because he's
all
out of the
be in heaven together.
Then she'll realize that she loved him because, you know, she was conflicted about that before. I thought it worked decently well as a horror movie. I mean, like, I like the design of the Castle Freak while he's in the shroud.
Both are good.
Really good. The bloody shroud.
Yeah, I wish the shroud was black.
They were decent.
You can't blood
but
when it show up.
I think right. I just, you know, I mean, preferred the shroud look of this, you know, naked, you know, neutered, castrated. Dude, yeah, like, yeah. skittering around the castle wearing this, you know, it's like, that was a pretty cool, I hate the word fucking iconic, but yeah, I mean, yeah. it's, you know, one of those, like, instantly recognizable, I
it's
guess.
Character.
Like, character.
There's
designs.
Toys.
Yeah.
There's Castle there should, toys.
Yeah, there are.
Are they? Of course. Full yeah. moon. Yeah, they have toys.
Oh, I'm going to look that up. That'd be
yeah,
nice.
I saw the figure when we were looking for the movie earlier. Yeah? It's pretty legit.
I kind of want to see that. Yeah. I'm going to look that up.
But at the same time, I think that this is probably like lesser Stuart Gordon at the same time. Like, I'm a, you know, I like Jeffrey Combs, even though I'm not going to say that he's a great actor. You just kind of, you like a person's style or personality or something, like the style of their performance. And it's like, I know this isn't good, but it's amusing, you know? And so I kind of just like watching it. So I think both him and Barbara Crampton are perfectly matched because they're both kind of in that area, you know? Where you just kind of like watching their stuff. But I think it's not as, even though it tries to be outrageous, it's not as outrageous as Reanimator, even From Beyond, which I'm not, you know, as big a fan of, but those movies are more memorable, you know, those are the ones you come back to. And Castle Freak, I mean, to be honest, Will I come back to this again? No. Should you watch it? Like, well, you could do worse. You know, I mean, if you can find the fucking thing. Apparently, you know, Hulu's the only place right yeah. now where you can get it. And I think it's on Blu-ray. But, yeah, I mean, I guess I'd say if you're, you know, there's a cult following around this movie. So I'm aware that, you know, but I think it's more people laughing at it, right? Like, it's the movie where, you know, the no, girl gets her.
To like it. What's his name? Krogenberg or whatever.
Damn it, Krogenberg.
Because he saw it when he was a kid, the same as, you know.
Damn well, it, Krogenberg.
You'd heard about it when you were a kid, but, you know, it has right. that kind of
Krogenberg, mystique. Get in my office. I want your gun in your badge, Krogenberg.
We appreciate you writing in and hope you do so again.
Oh, please do, because I want to yell Krogenberg more on this podcast.
Krogenberg.
That's great. Please do.
Yeah, so that's a recommendation from me. Holly, what'd you think of Castle Freak?
Well, this.
Yeah, Holly.
This movie, let me tell you.
Holly didn't get to suffer through Ilsa, She-Wolf of the SS. We think that would have put her right over the fucking top.
Woo. That was a rough one.
I guess I'll have to give credit where credit is due. The monster was decent. Monster, I think, was legit. I agree. The shrouded monster was the best version. I don't think that the uncovered monster was terrible. The whole like naked castrated, it was just really creepy. Like it really, I think it played either way because it just really creeped the hell out of me.
He could be a normal naked guy without even a disgusting face, and you'd be like, "Ah, get away from me!" Yeah. He just has to bite boobs.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what it depends on who was playing it, I guess.
You know what? Let me take a quick second. I want everybody out there. I want everybody out there to know this.
All right, edit point
you
know, here.
No, wait. Okay. You might as well go out there and hit on that girl because you don't know whether you're going to be the creep or the stud, dude. You could be either or. You could be both. You don't know. It's going to be the same to. It's going to be the same to you. You could say the same thing, and either you're the stud or the creep. It's crazy, insane. Go ahead.
Anyway, I don't remember what I was talking about.
It was creepy seeing the naked.
Yes, no, he was so unnerving. It was so unnerving. That's the point of this whole movie. It just creeped the living bejesus out of me. It really did. And you know, I'm not totally against gore or anything. Like when he pushed the cuff off and like ripped his thumb off, I was like, "Oh, yeah. Gross! Oh, gross!"
That's what but I
wasn't
for.
Like, yep. Like, oh. Like I was still okay. I was like, "Yeah, if that's what this movie is, I'm okay with that."
Yeah, he like bit it and then broke it off,
which is fine. You know, I'm okay with that.
That's fine.
It was
all fun and good.
It was disgusting, and it was
great. It's a price like, of admission. That's what you do.
It was just gross, but it's fine. Whatever, but. The sexual stuff, it really bothers me. Like, there's just something beyond creepy about it. I can't really tolerate. Like, I felt
it
I don't
might
know.
Be genetic. I don't know, right? Do women like look at sexual attacks in movies a little bit more like this is very scary? Like,
no, seriously,
I am more
yeah.
like I like the lizard. The part of my brain that like reacts to that is very real, right? Like, this is how we bred. This was evolution for thousands of years was just getting raped. You know, I can see why
it's true.
Women don't like
it. That's the same reason any horror movie that is more realistic will automatically be more scary, because you picture what you would do in that situation if it was happening to you. And that automatically makes it more scary. So as a girl, like, yeah, this movie, like, creeped the hell out of me. Like, if it had just been people got stabbed, people got their throats slit, like, that doesn't bother me.
Feels more like a violation
like
in something like this?
I just have to think, why is this movie being made? Like, why is this scene written? Why did he want to do
like
this scene?
We like
movies! Like, it just, no, like, I get it, eat but at them. The same time, it's like, that's where I go. I'm like, is there a deranged guy out there that thinks this is like a cool thing to do?
I don't
like,
think it's cool. As a horror writer, you're trying to come up with like, I need to scare them. How do you see audiences are so sophisticated? How do you come up with it?
Yeah,
I
know.
Generally, I think like they go like, well, what would scare me? And the thing that scares them is like, they think is fucked up. They conjure it up.
Yeah, no,
and then everybody's absolutely. Like, and they think they like this stuff. I'm like, I think it's the other way around. I think these guys actually find this stuff disturbing. And they think because it disturbs me, I'm my first, like, you know, the scratch test or whatever.
Yeah.
If it scares me, it'll scare them. And I'll put it in the movie.
I get that. And I get they go for shock value. I get all that. It's just like a natural thought process. Like, why is someone coming up with this? That's the part that like really gets in there and starts creeping you out. But anyway, I didn't like the sexual stuff. And the characters, I don't, normally I love character depth, but in this, I agree with Travis. I did not give a shit about these characters at all. Not even a little bit. I hated that every single character in this movie was a victim. It annoyed the shit out of me. Well, they were all victims.
Well, I was going to say, except all the castle freak, but he was a victim, too.
Every single person in this movie was a victim. Right?
Yeah, but he was a victim first. Yeah.
Male aggression.
For sure.
Everyone was a victim, and I was like, really? That's just so shitty. Like, can't someone be strong at all?
Should have been the blind daughter.
Blind girl. Yeah, but they whisked her out of the movie before.
They did.
But she became a victim.
She was a victim, too.
What are we doing with the blind girl?
Everyone was a victim. It just bugged me. Anyway,
sure.
Yeah, no, I don't. No surprise here. I did not like this movie at all. So I do not recommend. Sean, your movie.
Oh, Castle Freak. I'm glad I finally got to watch it after 20 years of kind of thinking about it.
20 might. Years. God damn it. Maybe. I need four people to make me.
I need a reason. I need to be forced to watch this
movie. I need
a
special show. I need a creative show.
And it took this long. I appreciate any movie that can make me squirm with what they put on screen. And this movie definitely did it. When it comes to like the kind of the sexual gore we've been talking about, we talked about Ilsa before.
That's a band name?
No, it's a song. Okay. Like Sexual Healing.
Yeah, yeah. Sexual Healing, but Sexual Gore.
But I mean, like Marvin Gaye right now.
Yeah. But that stuff, that's the stuff that bothers me or gets a reaction out of me. Like Ilsa took it. That was the line that I think it crossed in there because it was just like too much. But
a parade of sexual depravity.
Oh, it really was. But I appreciate this movie. I was okay with the drama of this movie. It is kind of a typical, like we said earlier, a family inherits a house, a castle, a little creepy thing. They go move the family in, we'll rebuild it, we'll do stuff to it, and then shit starts going wrong. It does get typical in that area, but I did like the drama between Jeffrey Combs and Barbara Crampton. I think if it wasn't Jeffrey Combs and Barbara Crampton, I wouldn't care as much about that story because you do tend to see it a lot in these types of movies. Other than that, I did like, I mean, the freak, I think, is it's creepy. It's I think a good design, especially like we said, the shroud. I recommend the movie. It got a reaction out of me. It made me, it's still giving me the creeps just kind of thinking about it.
You know what sucks about this movie? At the very end, this movie should go just like movies from the 70s or whatever. Like when Barbara Crampton's looking at her dead fucking husband, you need a freeze frame, roll credits. This fucking movie keeps going for like another like 5 minutes. It's like the funeral. Why the fuck do we care? Why do we need to see this?
Yeah, the cop and the son. That's why.
Everybody lost.
Who cares? In the 70s, boom. Dude's dead. Monster's dead. Roll those credits. Like, time to get home, people.
I do appreciate it, when they're just like, well, we're done.
Feature you had, dude, was coming up. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, this movie needs 20 minutes to edit the fuck out of it.
I do appreciate the extreme quick credits roll. I do like, I like most of this movie. I think, especially if you haven't seen it, I recommend it. I think there's things in here that will get to you. It'll make you feel something. And, I think that's worth seeing. If you've seen it before, you probably like, you know, you're probably good. it had an effect on me. I recommend it.
All right. So that's Castle Freak on the Saturday Night Freak Show. So next week, it should be Holly's turn.
It should be.
Holly's not going to be here.
Oh, damn. No,
so that bounces Holly.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, Holly.
She'll be back in 2 weeks.
Don't be sorry. We need to go quicker.
That's right. So I'm up, and next week we are going to watch the Fred Decker directed, Shane Black written.
Black and Decker.
the Monster Squad.
Whoa. Because
everybody's talking about Stranger Things. I'm like, let's go for the fucking Monster Squad. Boom. Next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. And until then, ladies and germs, the basement is going dark.